Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so you can expect a new one to pop up over there sometime tomorrow. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link. Take yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three names.
Okay. All right, Dan. Well, let's you know, I know you've been preparing this for a while, so I figure we can get it out there right away. And let's start with your hot NBA preview since the season opens tonight. And, you know, we got the, I think it's, yeah, two games. It's what it is, it Boston at Philly and then Oklahoma City at Golden State. Did I get that right?
Oh, I thought it started tomorrow.
No. It opens up tonight. We are ready to go with a couple games. I'm going to double check the schedule to make sure I have it correct. So we'll see. But of course, like I was complaining before you and I started, my internet is going to run like garbage because I needed to do something. Yeah, they're both getting, you know, TNT's night. They're going to kick off the season. Yeah, we got Philadelphia at Boston is the 7 o'clock game. And then Oklahoma at Golden State is the 9:30 game. So I hope you went in and changed your fantasy lineup. I only have one guy playing tonight, so.
I'm actually double checking right now.
Oh, so you're all ready. And now Russell Westbrook will not be playing tonight for Oklahoma City. So you can kind of factor that into probably how their night is going to go against Golden State. So we'll see how that works out for it, but I think it might be a rough outing. Yeah, the only guy I have playing is Markel Fultz. So we shall see how that goes. But, yeah, you know, Dan, I guess what, you know, your entire preview boils down to is who's the Warriors' biggest threat?
The Lakers.
Yeah, okay, great. So we should end the podcast now.
Yeah, did you mean threat or biggest television day of the year?
Yeah, well, you know, we already know what goes on with TV. I mean, you know, we're only going to see certain teams, so, you know, that's no big deal. But, you know, obviously they're the heavy favorite. I saw the headline to an article. I guess apparently it's to the point now where even, you know, like the books are complaining because they're kind of scaring bettors away because there's really no reason to bet on anybody else but the Warriors. So, but yeah, I don't know. You know, like I heard Charles Barkley say that, you know, it'll be Golden State and Boston. You know, Boston seems to be the popular pick. So I don't know. Is that where you are? You've got Boston.
Well, I've got Kyrie, so I think I'm gonna go with Boston, but I think the 76ers can definitely make a nice run for it. They'd have a bigger run if they would have landed King James.
Yes. So, but you know, they don't make They don't make movies in Philadelphia, do they?
I think they made one, or that was about Philadelphia.
Yeah, I don't. Does Rocky count?
No, I was talking about Tom Hanks.
I don't
know.
So yeah, that. You know, that's really been, you know, the big thing is who or if or will anybody threaten. You know, I mean, at this point, you just don't, you know, you don't really know who possibly could be that guy or, you know, how it's going to work out. But, I mean, do you see anybody, or are we just going to be standing there at the end of the season going, hey, give this to Golden State again?
Yeah, I mean, you know, 3 months of playoffs, and I think Golden State's just going to win it anyway.
Because there were a lot of people saying, you know, Boston would have beat them last year had Chris Paul not gotten hurt. You're not buying that? You're not one of those guys?
No.
And then are you planning on watching anybody tonight? Are you going to click over and see what they look like?
I may take a gander, but it's baseball playoffs, so, you know, much like...
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's going to be my main focus. You know, the Dodgers need to get their stuff together, but I don't think they're going to. I think the Brewers are going to the big topic in my house.
Yes. Well, you know, that's, well, I don't know. You know, they did burn up their ace last night, you know, Julie Chassin. So I don't know if they're going to, you know, how many bullpen guys can go tonight. You know, and they still used how many last night, even with a good start by Chassin?
I think, what, four?
So. You know, yeah, I don't remember. Obviously, you know, the game ended pretty much after, you know, I was away from it. But, yeah, I think they said four or five, so. You know, does eventually the bullpen wear out? I mean, how do they kind of continue to roll them out there? I mean, don't eventually these guys just butter?
Well, I mean, Soria has only pitched maybe a full, you know, inning over these last three games because he's only come in for one batter. Hader was in for two-thirds. You know, I think they're going to hold up. It's just a matter of can they hold up if they make it to the World Series.
Yeah, well, you know, and I know they don't like to use him on back-to-back days, you know, Josh Hader. So, you know, that works out for him. But, yeah, it just seems like they're running a lot of innings on these guys. And I don't know. I guess I just keep wondering if they're gonna, you know, if they're actually gonna hold up, or if it's eventually gonna, you know, just kind of catch up to them. But, you know, I guess so far so good, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the biggest problem for them, or not for them, is for the Dodgers. They're not actually hitting, looking like the Cubs.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's always a plus when, you know, the team you're playing doesn't want to hit, that, you know, you can't go wrong there, right? Well, you could, but it would be a little weird. So, I don't know, I didn't even bother to look. Do you know off the top of your head, or have you seen anything about, like, what the Dodgers are hitting in this series? Because they're really, I mean, more or less, basically a Justin Turner home run away from being down three games to none, right?
Pretty much. I mean, that was actually on Baseball Reference right now, trying to find the stats on on the series so far.
Because, yeah, I was trying to think, you know, again, I mean, you know, you get those, you know, those little later starts, you know, they don't always work out that well for me. So, you know, I only get, you know, especially being postseason, they, you know, have a tendency to stretch these things out a tad bit, and I don't get as much viewing as I would actually like. So it can be
last night's game was wrapped up by 10 o'clock. You know, one of the biggest problems the Dodgers have had. Yeah, but it started at 7. So that's pretty much normal time. It's not like the age-old Yankees-Red Sox 4 or 5 hour game. But, you know, one of the problems I noticed with the Dodgers was Yasmani Grandal. You know, his batting isn't totally there, and neither is his defense. I mean, now the Brewers scored on with a wild pitch and a bad ball. You know, he's dropping a lot of stuff. He's not keeping control of the ball. And I think that's one of the biggest issues they're having. But, you know, batting average-wise as a whole, including their pitchers, they're hitting .220.
Oh. Well, I guess it's not. Well, I don't know. .220 is best the pitchers have. But, yeah, that's not very good there. Yeah, I noticed today Grandal is getting – well, actually, there's been some people defending him because apparently he got booed last night by the Dodgers, the home crowd. So there's actually been a few guys who have been coming to his defense. But I think they did say that Austin Barnes will start tonight. I don't know if the lineups have been released yet. But, you know, this kind of happened – last year, you know, Grandal was the main catcher for the season, and they got into the playoffs, and for whatever reason, Austin Barnes ended up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going on with their hitting, but even when you flip on over to the Dodgers pitching, you know, Walker Buehler is the only one who really made an extended start with 7 innings. But he also gave up 4 runs in that game. And then you kind of go to your number one, your ace, in Clayton Kershaw. And his ERA for this series is 12 right now in 3 innings pitched, giving up 4 earned runs. But, you know, there's a 5th run, too. So, I mean, not only is their hitting down, but their pitching is down. You know, Hyunjin Ryu only went 4 1/3.
Yeah, and here's what they're going with tonight. Chris Taylor's leading off in left field. Justin Turner's batting second, playing third base. David Freese is hitting third at first base. Manny Machado's the cleanup hitter at shortstop. Brian Dozier hits 5th at second. Enrique Hernandez, who, you know, we like to call Keaton, hits 6th in center field. Yasiel Puig hits 7th in right field. Austin Barnes is doing the catching, and he'll hit 8th. And then Rich Hill is doing the pitching. Of course, he'll hit 9th. Milwaukee basically has their regular setup here, you know, their regular left-handed pitching, I should say. Lorenzo Cain leading off in center field. Christian Yelich batting 2nd in right field. Ryan Braun hits 3rd in left field. Jesus Aguilar is the Brewers' cleanup hitter at first base. Mike Moustakas is hitting 5th, playing 3rd. Jonathan Schoop hits 6th at second base. Manny Pena gets the call at catcher tonight. He'll hit 7th. Orlando Arcia is the shortstop, and he'll hit 8th. And the Brewers are going with Gio tonight. Gio Gonzalez is going to make another, I guess you could call it, start. I don't know what you call these things anymore, because what did he go, 3 innings last time or something like that? So,
no, 2. He may have gone into the third, but he didn't finish. He didn't even get an out.
So, yeah, that's where they are heading into the game. You know, we'll see if they, you know, obviously these are just the lineups they put out. They could change depending on if a team decides, you know, they like somebody better, or maybe they, you know, overlooked a matchup or something. But I don't, you know, I doubt that. So, we'll see how things go, but – yeah, you know, it just kind of boils down to, like you said, the Dodgers need to hit. If they, you know, Mm-hmm. If they hit, they can be competitive. If they don't hit, well, then they're going the route of the Cup, and we'll see Milwaukee in the World Series.
Yeah, which, I mean, it's kind of lean that way. You're wondering about Hader. He's actually, you know, 2 games, 3 2/3. So he's only given up 2 hits and struck out 6. The guy you've got to worry about is Jeffrey. You know, with an ERA at 7.7 in 2 1/3 innings, he's given up 7 hits with 2 earned runs. He struck out 4, so if he can get his control together for Game 5, I doubt they bring him in tonight, then I think they'll be fine. I mean, Chassin, they went 5.
Yeah, well, Jeffrey, you know, from what I heard, I didn't see any of the highlights, but I heard him talking about it. Apparently, Jeffers looked better last night. He did close out the game, didn't he? That's it. I see how it goes. I asked Dan a question and he falls off. So let's bring him back in and see. You know, that always happens. I ask you a question and you drop off. I don't know how that manages, but that, you know, like I was saying, I didn't see any highlights, but I heard they said Jeffers looked better last night. You know, he closed out the game, right? Did you see him? Any of that?
Yeah, he definitely looked better last night than he did. Yeah, you know, the other night. So, but, you know, it's a crapshoot. If you've got the Dodgers, they're hitting, I think it's just like the Cubs, where either you're going to completely shut them down or, you know, they're going to tear you up. And I think he was lucky enough to get out of the inning last night. Let me go back. I have to refresh my memory to last night's game.
Yeah, because obviously by the time he got into the game, I was asleep. So I don't know. You know, I didn't get to see how he looked or any of that fun stuff.
Oh, that's because you're not utilizing MLB.TV on your Roku TV. Getting the game high.
I know. That's because I'm busy watching, you know, other BS on there. So, and honestly, how many highlights of Jim Jeffress were they going to show?
Well, no, if you throw in the condensed game, it'll throw down the whole game in, you know, from anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes. So you'd actually get to see it. But, so of course, as I'm trying to pull up last night's stats, I'm not getting anything. My phone is just circling.
Oh, yeah, don't you hate when that happens? All right, maybe my internet will want to work. It's always great when you do an internet-based show and your internet doesn't want to work, doesn't it? That's just fantastic. Mm-hmm. So let's mine is working here. It's just working very fast. All right, I have him at 1 inning with 2 hits, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts. So he let some guys on.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, he did get out of it, so.
And it was,
you know,
yeah, he did have 4 runs.
You know, it got a little exciting for the Dodgers fans, but he shut him down, and, you know, that was the end of it. So, I mean, the Dodgers, I believe, are really lucky they won Game 2 of the series because I think tonight would be the sweep.
Yeah, but, you know, to be honest, it was the 9th inning. How many Dodger fans were still there? Don't they leave early to beat traffic?
Oh, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's still a big crowd there, but there was a lot of people that left.
Yeah, because, you know, that's always kind of the thing. It's like, hey, let's, you know, they show up late, they leave early, right? That's the deal.
Yeah, but I mean, can you blame him for showing up late? The game's at 5 or 5:30.
No, you gotta, you know, you just leave your job. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
You wouldn't.
Well, and from what I understand, there's no beating the traffic because that's all there is.
Yeah, that's, you know, I've heard the same thing when it comes to Los Angeles. Is there's no, you know, no way around it. So, but, you know, while the Dodgers, of course, Brewers game hasn't started yet, We actually do have a game going on right now. We have Red Sox Astros with the Red Sox up 2-1. Looks like they're heading into the top of the fifth inning. It's Dallas Keuchel against Nathan Eovaldi. And all the scoring in the first inning, Dan. So nothing since then. And I got to see. Let me see if I can tell everybody how they scored here. Looks like J.D. Martinez won one on a double. And then your guy, Xander Bogaerts, drove in the Red Sox second run on a ground out. So, and then let me hold down the Astros. See what I. Oh, no, it's not going to. The hell? Okay. I can't see how the Astros scored because the Red Sox are coming up. So we'll have to guess on that one. How'd the Red Sox score? Or how'd the Astros score? Do you know?
By crossing the plate. Marwin Gonzalez drove in Jose Altuve.
Okay, thank you.
But Keuchel did get lucky. He had the bases loaded in the bottom of the first.
Yeah, because, you know, it was funny because I missed the scoring. I forgot it started at, you know, what it started at 4 o'clock, I think they started. I actually spaced it off, getting there was two games, and when I turned it on, it was the second inning, and it was 2-1. Damn it. So... So you know, and then Tony Kemp made a great catch while we're getting ready to start the podcast. So.
Oh yeah, and it was a great catch. I don't know if you've seen it.
No, I was in the room getting the computer ready to get going, so I didn't see diddly squat. I'll have to get the condensed game highlights later on the MLB at bat, right?
Oh yeah.
The Red Sox, you know, coming up, it's the top of the order for the Red Sox. So it's Mookie Betts, Andrew Benintendi, and J.D. Martinez. And it looks like Keuchel is still in, right? I believe, he's still pitching. So but yeah, apparently I can hear the game on in the background, and they're saying that apparently Joe Smith is up in the bullpen. So if Keuchel runs into any trouble, you got to think this is possibly his last inning. So, we'll have to see how that goes. The first couple games and what's going on here, has this, you know, like, to me, this series, the first two games have went pretty much how I expected, you know, if it's a, you know, what you would call kind of a close pitcher's duel, I really expect the Astros to win those, but game two was a little more of an offensive, almost a slugfest, and I kind of thought the Red Sox would win those kind of matchups. I'm a little surprised they're hanging on 2-1 here, but there is still plenty of time. Did the games go kind of how you thought they would go, or were you expecting more out of somebody that you didn't get?
I really thought that the Astros would sweep it too.
Oh yeah,
I'm way off. I thought that was their game last night, or the other night, but.
Yeah, I really thought the Astros would win the series, but I didn't have it as a sweep. I figured Boston would find a way to win, you know, at least one, maybe even two games, depending on how it goes. But now, do you think, you know, if Boston hangs on to win this, do you think it really, does it sway things as much as people are going to talk? You know, because they'll have the two run, you know, the 2-1 lead. You know, is that going to be a huge deal? Because I mean, they're still in Houston for Game 4, but they will go to Boston for Game 5. I don't know. Do you buy all that, or is it less for you than it is for, like, you know, because you know that's what we're going to hear if Boston wins.
Yeah, well, I definitely think it's, you know, going to give the Red Sox an advantage, but, you know, the other side of it is Houston, they're not giving up. They don't give up.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, with their pitching staff, you know, they could go out, and I mean, even an offense like the Red Sox can be shut down, you know, and, you know, if they do, because I'm trying to think, if Keuchel went, I would guess, I don't know, could they or would they bring Verlander back tomorrow, do you think, for a game four, or is that too short and they would want to try to just wait for game five? Because I know the Red Sox are going to wait for game five with Sale, even, and he did just get out of the hospital, so that may still be iffy. But I don't know. Could you see Verlander coming back for game four?
You know, I think it depends on if they lose tonight, but both teams already have Porcello and Morton ready to go tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I know the Red Sox are going to go with Porcello. You know, that's, especially with Sale's condition, that's already been kind of decided, because there is a chance he wouldn't be able to go if there was a game five. That would be, what, Friday in Boston? You know, apparently he had some kind of stomach ailment that landed him in the hospital, but he is back with the team, and he threw a bullpen session. So it looks like he's going to game five.
Well, I think you've gotten a little too used to the NBA hockey schedule, because we're doing the 2-3-2. So, game five
is a 2-3-2. Okay, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it is different to have, you know, the MLB organization that doesn't complain about the way the playoff games are set up and having to play, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in a row.
Yeah.
I think we've just conditioned to the crying that, you know, you're in your head, you're already going, well, they probably play every other day.
Well, you know, the NBA, I mean, the NBA guys complain, even if they're at home, they complain about having to play two nights in a row. So, you know, when there's no travel involved, they're easily the biggest crybabies out of all four sports. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, those guys cry pretty much about anything. So yeah, it would be Thursday night. We would get game five. So yeah, the weird part was, I thought they were going back to, they're still in Houston. I had them going back to Boston. I was way out there, out to lunch. So, you know, just how those things go. But, you know, I saw this earlier, and I thought this was, you know, I don't know. To me, it was almost laughable. But, you know, obviously it's the off season, and, you know, if you're not a fan of these four teams, you got, you know, writers out there who need to write to their fan base. So they're trying to find something to get them going. So I read this, Dan, three top starting pitching candidates who could be traded this offseason. Dan, I got to tell you, if any of these guys were traded, I would probably poop my pants, because this guy decided that Corey Kluber, James Paxton, and Madison Bumgarner are three top trade candidates for this offseason. So now I'll start right at the top, Dan. Could you explain to me, you know, why the hell the Indians would trade Kluber when he's a Cy Young candidate just about every year? They dominate the division, so they're always in the playoffs. They can't win playoff games with them. They're not going to do any better without them. Why the hell would they deal him?
Who would they deal him to? The White Sox?
Yeah, you know that. Yeah, you know, obviously, I don't think he would stay in the division. but yeah, well, you know, and the big thing is, well, you know, he's 33 in April. okay, great. Do you want to start shoveling dirt on him because he's 33? You know, and as far as salary goes, he makes $17 million next year. Then it jumps to $17.5 million the year after that, and then $18 million. That's not too bad for an ace, you know, with what some of these guys make. And again, this guy's got to give his fans something to read and try to get them excited. But really, Kluber going somewhere? I don't know.
No.
We'll move on to Paxton since he's the second name. You know, this one, I could possibly give a maybe because, you know, Seattle is old. If you moved him, it would be a way for them to get younger. But, you know, he's under club control for two more years. So, they would really have to be blown away to make that move, right?
Oh, yeah, especially coming off of $5 million season last year. And an arbitration number three, what are you going to get?
And then the last one, Bumgardner. This falls into that same category because this is a complete joke. Believe it or not, Dan, he's got a club option with the Giants, and it's going to sound weird to say this, for only $12 million next year. Now, I know, you know, he had the injury last year. It was kind of a down year for him. But to get Madison Bumgarner at $12 million is a complete deal. Now, the Giants keep saying they're going to be players in the Bryce Harper Derby. Why the hell would you go after Harper and then trade Bumgarner, Dan? Explain that one to me.
You don't.
Yeah. It's like, okay, here, we're going to bring in this great offensive player for God only knows, you know, what they're going to have to pay him. Say it's 25 or 30 a year. But yet we're going to trade a top left-hander who we've got on a steal of a deal because we signed him way back when to this long contract. And now, you know, as salaries are through the roof, we're getting him for $12 million when he really should be making probably around 20. But yet, yeah, we're going to trade him. Yeah, let's ship him off. Get him out of here. Okay. A couple other names he throws out here. He adds Robbie Ray and Carlos Martinez in because it's a couple guys coming off injury, and he thinks their teams may move on. So we'll see how that one goes. And then here you go, Dan. I'm sure you've heard this one that, you know, with your guy Didi hurt, the Yankees are going to go out and sign Manny Machado. And he's going to be their shortstop for God only knows how long. Yeah, I guess I don't know what they'll do with Didi when he gets back because obviously Machado's not taking a one-year deal. The talk now, Dan, is if possibly that they can't get Machado in, that they'll go get Paul Goldschmidt from the Diamondbacks. Do we just attempt to plug everybody into a Yankee uniform?
Isn't that the motto? I'm trying to get the where they're capped at this year. So I mean, they're at 179 for this year, and I believe 195. So I mean, They're still under the luxury tax, but I mean, it's not going to happen. It's just, you know, to sign all these guys and then to also sign Machado would put them over the luxury cap, and that would most likely put them over for at least the next three seasons. You know, raising their tax every year.
The Machado thing kind of baffles me because, okay, they're going to bring him in. you know, he's going to want, what, 6-7 years?
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to tie him up for 7 years. What the hell do you do when Didi comes back? You know, Didi's been a great player for you. So now you're locked in with Gleyber at second, Machado at short, and Andujar at third. Didi playing first base?
Well, no, they have like 7 first base. Like,
yeah. Oh, and no, he couldn't play first base anyway because they'll have Goldschmidt there. So, you know, it won't matter. You know, and then, you know, they've got them, you know, re-signing J.A. Hop and then bringing Patrick Corbin in. So, whatever they're, you know, the way it works out is everybody's going to be a Yankee. Except for Sonny Gray, who they basically come out and said Gray.
Well, and the funny thing is you didn't even mention Gleyber Torres, did you? Or did you mention?
Well, I mentioned him as a second baseman because people have seemed to have forgotten that he came through the Cup system as a shortstop. So,
like Starlin Castro.
Yeah.
You know, for them to take on Machado, you know, you would most certainly have to trade Didi because it wouldn't be fair to Didi, who's, you know, gone from almost every day in Arizona to every day with Yankees. And then once you do that, you devalue your trade opportunities because, you know, now we all know. We know you need to get rid of them. So how can
right,
you?
Well, it's kind of like they did with Sonny Gray, right, where they came out and said, oh, yeah, we're going to trade him this offseason. I'm not giving you anything for him. You want to get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
You want to trade a guy that's bound to get hurt.
You know, and I mean, I get it. You know, Manny Machado's a great player. You know, everybody would want to get in on it. But, you know, you got to kind of look at these things and make sure they make sense for these teams when they do them. And, you know, actually an upgrade at first base would probably be better for the Yankees than Machado. You know, for whatever reason, Greg Bird can't stay healthy. He can't keep running him out there. And, you know, I know Luke Voit was a fun story, but do we really believe this carries into next year? You know, I mean, are you buying Luke Voit as the everyday first baseman, hitting, you know, 40 bombs and driving in 100?
He didn't really work out in the playoffs, so.
Right. So, you know, I could clearly see them, you know, looking to make that upgrade. You know, something to that effect. Or, you know, I mean, hell, if you want to go out on a limb, you know, have him sign Bryce Harper and let Aaron Judge play first base. So, you know. They also may have to make a decision with their captain. You know, down the line, it may actually be Gary Sanchez is to play some first base because he – I don't know if he's going to be, if he can be an everyday catcher. And a lot of outfielders they have, there's really not a DH spot for him because that's what Stanton does. So, there's, a lot of questions. And, I mean, they're just not going to continue to keep adding guys to the mix without figuring out what they've got going on. But I guess that's the fun part of it, right? Everybody's going to be a Yankee.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody is already. Like, you know,
what did I see here? I saw that there's a report also here that Clayton Kershaw may opt out. You know, I'm sure if he decides to opt out, he immediately becomes a Yankee. Even though he is pretty much said if he did decide he wanted to go home and play in Texas. But I don't know. Could you imagine just adding him to the Astros rotation? We could just quit now, right?
American League just quit.
But, yeah, so I don't know. You know, yeah, I'm sure that would jump right away would be, well, he's going to sign with the Yankees. No, you know, here you go. Clayton Kershaw opts out, and he's a Yankee. But he just opted out. He didn't sign with any. But it doesn't matter. He's a Yankee. Going to the Yankees. Maybe the Red Sox. Going to the Yankees. I was like, oh, God, you're kidding me, you know. And I mean, you know, Didi's body wasn't even cold yet, and they had Machado going to the Yankees. So.
Well, you know, before you go on, kind of bouncing back to the article you brought up with those pitchers being top trade candidates. You know, I think the problem with that is maybe the title. Well, I guess you got to draw people in, but
yeah,
you know, the three names you threw out there, I could definitely see being great trade candidates for what you could possibly get in return. Realistically, is it going to happen? No. I like that. You know, it's. For the most part, you know, if you weren't leading people to believe that this was the actual possibility, that it was actually going to happen, then I wouldn't argue with it. But, you know, I like the commentary on it more so because, you know, yeah, these guys would probably be, you know, the biggest trade candidates because they would get you the most value. Now, would I forget to put that in the article, that this is probably most likely not going to happen? Well, I'm sure I didn't read the article. You did, and I'm sure he didn't put that in there. The article I did think you were going to talk about, which I believe you posted because I didn't post it today, and I'm going to get just a couple minutes on it before I forget. Right before we started, I was reading the Miami Marlins post about, you know, Derek Jeter hating fun and wanting to remove. So I thought this was probably going to be one of the biggest off-season topics. That I thought you were being sarcastic at first because your sarcasm was rolling with that those three pitchers. I thought this was the route you were going. But, you know, and I hope the guy who wrote the article was throwing some sarcasm in there. But, I mean, if it were up to me, the day I bought that team, i.e. Derek Jeter and company, I would have demolished that piece of crap dinger. You know, it's nice that they're going to throw it outside and part of some art walk. And, you know, Derek Jeter's going to make it more of a standing room only thing. You know, he complained about the fact that, you know, what do you need to draw more fans for when you're not drawn to begin with? But, I mean, I don't know how you felt about it, but, you know, baseball games aren't a circus, and I felt like it made them look like even more of a joke than the team was. You know, you want to add to it, and that kind of took away from the professionalism that baseball is and made them kind of look like a joke. And plus,
yeah,
like,
you know,
Jeter and the mayor agree, it was a giant eyesore, and I don't think it really brought anything to the game or to the Marlins.
Yeah, I don't think I hated it that much. You know, it was more kind of, you know, whatever. I don't see a ton of Marlins games, so it's not that big a deal to me. But, yeah, I could see if I was putting up with it all the time, I definitely wouldn't like it. So, yeah, I am glad. You know, yeah, destroy it, move it, whatever you got to do. Just get rid of it. Yeah, we'll, you know, get it the hell out of there and, you know, move on, you know, anything.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw it out there before we ran out of time because it is an off-season topic. And, you know, they, of course, hope to have it dismantled, removed, and replaced part of their art walk or whatever they've got planned going on for outside the stadium. I have no issues with. But I'm glad they're getting rid of it. And I think, you know, in the position where it is, you know, it's not in the batter's eye. And having some kind of standing room only is not just Derek Jeter trying to draw more people to the game, but that's kind of how the game is going. I mean, people like that stuff. you know, one of the things I like about the, what are we calling it, G-Ray Field, Guaranteed Ray Field, is that right field patio. I had to think about which field, it, which side it was on. But that right field patio, to me, is one of their, is a cool attraction that they have, where you can sit down there and you're basically in the outfield. You're on, you know, obviously you're not on the field, but you're on the field, and you, you really get the real close up part of the, you know, what the outfielder sees. And I think that's one of the things that draws people. And, you know, whether it's the Marlins, I don't know what Dolphins, how Dolphins games go, but it appeared to me when the Bears lost, there was a lot of Bears fans down there to see that game, which I don't blame them. But, you know, even, you know, you're the one who brought it to my attention when I went down to see the Miami Heat play, and I'm like, Big Jack, where the hell was everybody? And you're like, well, that's the motto. They show up late and they leave early, especially when you've got the money. And, you know, I think while having seats everywhere, I think you've got to kind of go with the custom that is down there. And Miami is known, it's an international city, it's a party city. And if you can make a giant standing room in the outfield, I think that that's going to help draw more people, because they're not, while you'd like to have 30,000 people sitting there with their scorecards in hand, you know, their pencil, their hot dog, and all that, that is not baseball today. I wish it was. I don't even keep score anymore, because check my phone and get the score right there. Plus, you can, I can watch more of the game. That was something I used to love to do, and sadly, it's just kind of gone away. But with Miami baseball, you got to do whatever you can to try to draw the fans there. And while Giancarlo would have been there hitting bombs, maybe 50-50-plus, and kind of been an MVP candidate, along with having an awesome outfield with Yelich and Ozuna, I mean, he's obviously looking towards the future, and the future wasn't going to be with them forever. So, you know, while I think he's getting a lot of negativity towards them, I think in the future it's going to work out for them to just improve the overall product down there.
Well, you know, and especially, you know, the situation they're in now where the team is going to be bad while they rebuild, you need an area like that where you're basically, the best way to look at it is you kind of call them non-baseball fans. They go to the game, but they're not like fans of the game. They're just going for the experience to have a good time. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's the kind of place they want to go. They don't want to sit, you know, behind the dugout or behind home plate or even in the bleachers. You know, they want to go to one of those picnic-type areas and, you know, hang out. And if they don't want to watch the game, they can hang out with their friends and then turn around and check out a little of it. You know, as hard as it is for me to say, that's kind of the new wave of baseball fans. You know, almost any and every new stadium has an area like that. You know, Arizona has the pool. You know, even if you go to Wrigley,
awesome.
You get a lot of people, you know, with the fact that the Cubs are good helps now, but when the Cubs were bad, they still drew well because a lot of people just wanted to go to see Wrigley Field. They didn't care about baseball. They wanted to go to Wrigley Field and hang out, you know, in that neighborhood afterwards. And, you know, that's the kind of thing you're looking for when, you know, you're putting your team together, is because, you know, you're not going to draw 30, 40, 50,000 baseball fans every night. That's just a flat out impossibility. So you need a way to be able to attract these other people who are, you know, I'll watch the game if it's on, or if somebody's going and they got an extra ticket, I'll go with them. You know, you need a way to draw these people in and let them come in and have a good time. And they weren't going to look at that statue, bottom line, right?
No, they weren't. Like I said, I hope this guy was writing that article as in some kind of stardom. But if he was truly serious, I'm sorry, but that was one of the dumbest points of view.
Yeah, well, you brought up the one thing. Now, here's the other thing that, I mean, with the playoffs going on, this is going to get completely overlooked. But the Angels, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, opted out of their league today, Dan.
I just saw it. I didn't even realize. I didn't realize
as of right now,
had opt-out on their leases.
Yeah, as of right now, they don't have a place to play. And the way their lease was written, Dan, they either had to opt out today or it was good for another 10 years.
Oh.
So they took the opt out, and now apparently they've been trying to get a new stadium for the past few years, and it just hasn't worked out. You know, oddly, you know, the Angels are one of the better drawing teams in Major
yeah.
League Baseball. What do you know? I'm assuming at this point in time, there's probably not enough time to get a new stadium built by next year. But do you think this helps them get something, or where do you possibly see the Angels playing next year? Are they going to be the Montreal Angels?
No, I think if anything, you know, I've actually oddly I found this website. I believe it's called Baseball Parks or something. I don't know. It literally, it's a website. You know, just you know, go on Bing. Since you and I don't use Google, we use Bing. Search up baseball parks, you know, U.S. or whatever. There's this website, and it literally lists out every baseball park in America today in the past. And, you know, that was one of the things, you know, I'm going to come back to the Angels, but one of the things you brought about was you're not going to draw 30,000 fans of baseball fans every night. And it amazed me reading back on, you know, the stadium that Cleveland had, or Ebbets Field when the 30s and 40s, these teams were drawing 40, 50,000 people, and it was amazing. But at the same time, I'm sure tickets were $1 or $2, you know, $5 to sit on the baselines, and, you know, we didn't have TV, we had radio, so it was a much different era to be able to hit those spots. But, you know, they didn't, when I'm on that website, they didn't have any future stadium for the Angels. You know, they have a future, you know, a rendering, which were pretty cool for Tampa Bay and then for the Rangers, which, you know, I guess it started. I haven't really looked into it yet. I was reading on every single stadium. But apparently the Rangers are looking to get a new stadium by 2020 that has a dome so that they can avoid some of the heat.
Yeah.
So I thought it was interesting when you said that if Clayton Kershaw were to opt out, he would go to Texas. And if they were to get the dome, I wonder which team he'd want to go to. You know, of course, you know, the Astros with the run they have going on. But then even the Rangers, if they had a dome, it might be a good landing spot for him. But with the Angels, you know, they didn't have anything. So I'm kind of baffled. And, you know, you did mention they were one of the better draws. And they did have, I think, one of the best draws this year. So I don't know. Is it? Are they being a little too stingy, or, you know, can they work with the city of Anaheim? Because I believe the stadium is owned by Anaheim, to maybe restructure it. You know, because in my point of view, you had your chance in 2014 or was it 2015, and you got swept out, and you haven't had a real legitimate playoff run in the last 4 years. So while you're drawing, is the new stadium really going to make that big of a difference?
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's more the fact that don't they want the new amenities as much as anything else? Mm-hmm. You know, if you can't upgrade things, then you just kind of, you know, you want those, you know, whatever it may be, you know, better, you know,
stuff for the fans.
Better, you know, better bathrooms, better locker rooms, better whatever you got.
Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely have to look into it a little bit more. I didn't really realize that there was an issue for them in Anaheim, but, you know, and I think it works both sides for you and I, is being more National League guys, we don't pay a whole lot of attention to the American League games. I know you're watching a handful more Mariners games, but you know, even the Angels with Ohtani and Trout, I'd still rather pick up and watch a Dodgers or Giants game.
Yeah, you know, to be fair, I didn't even know that the Angels were on a lease. I didn't know they were leasing the stadium. So, you know, I'm not really up to date on who leases and who owns and that kind of thing. So, you know. You know, I just one of those one of those things. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, if they threaten to move or how it works out. But you know, I'm sure with nothing planned, they end up working something out and end up back in that ballpark. But
we'll yeah, see. Well, I mean, you know, like you said, it's either lease or opt out of your lease and or spend the next 10 years there. And obviously, I think opting out was the best decision. And to maybe they'll end up, you know, maybe getting 3 more years and the potential to build a new stadium. Hopefully, they have a big enough parking lot to put it in.
So yeah, Dan, we're rolling out of time here. I wanted to make sure we got to this real quick today. I don't know if you saw this one, but do you probably know the name Joey Bosa, the defensive lineman with the Chargers, who actually has been all injured all year and hasn't played. But he has a brother by the name of Nick, who until today was going to Ohio State University, and he is set up to probably be, if not the number one pick in the draft, one of the top players next year. Now, he got hurt this season, and I believe it was an injury that required a minor surgery. You know, Dan, the college football season is only about 5, 6, maybe 7 weeks old. Joey has decided, Dan, that to leave Ohio State, he's actually withdrawn from class, and he is going to focus on training and rehabilitation to get ready for the NFL draft. Do you think, you know, and obviously he's going to be a high pick, do we got a trend going here, possibly? You know, because, I mean, he's leaving a top program. You know, they're a national title contender, but obviously, you know, he's, well, I'm sure he's being paid. He's just not being paid legally. You damn well know he wasn't going to any classes anyway, so he wasn't getting an education. We going to start seeing a lot of this? You think this could be a trend?
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially for a kid who got hurt. If you want to make it in the NFL, you know, getting an A in algebra or, you know, whatever, math 120, you know, isn't going to help you get in the NFL, let's be honest. And you and I talk about this all the time.
A bit. You know, none of this will affect his NFL draft position.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think this is the smartest thing for him to do. And, you know, if he was injured and he wants to go play for the NFL, that's what you need to focus on.
So, but, yeah, you know, I mean, do you think we see more guys do this?
Oh, yeah. I think it's, you know, it's, with the whole, you know, the basketball drama with Adidas and mainly with Adidas and their stuff, I think you're going to see more of this because I think these college kids are going to start, or these young men are going to start to realize that going to these big time schools, well, what is it really doing for them? I mean, it's boosting their egos. You know, you can go steal lobster and get away with it, but you know, if you want to make some money, you got to get in the NFL when you're 19 and hopefully you can play till you're 29.
Don't forget, podcast is available for you to listen to anytime you want at tunein.com.
Sportstime Radio.